I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Inland Journal podcast, correspondent John Vlahovic introduces us to a new candidate for the Spokane Valley City Council, Lance Gurrell. Gurrell is challenging a longtime incumbent, Arnie Woodard, from whom we'll hear tomorrow. Gurrell has his own certified public accountant business. He's also worked as an oil field welder, a diesel mechanic, and construction contractor. Gurrell has also worked with nonprofits and government agencies. He says he's running for Spokane Valley City Council in order to leave the community a more just and equitable place for his grandchildren. He says he will work for a safe community, for good roads, and for strong city financial management that holds down taxes. He considers parks and green spaces important for the valley and faults the current city council for not purchasing the former Painted Hills Golf Course property located in the southern part of Spokane Valley. Gurrell backs creation of affordable housing while at the same time calling for controlled future development that respects the interests of Spokane Valley single-family homes and neighborhoods. Here he is with John Vlahovic.
Lance Gurrell is running for position 3 on the Spokane Valley City Council. He's works from home as an accountant, and he is running, he says, to serve our community, champion accountable and common sense leadership. Thank you for talking with us this morning. What do you mean by accountable common sense leadership?
I'm running for city council because I want to be the city council member representing almost 100,000 people who live in Spokane Valley now. Not just the special interests. I'm very committed to finding ways to help families and to keep families at the center of the things that matter in the city council. People have asked me why about my signs and why I ended up with the color purple on my signs. I really feel like this is a nonpartisan race. I like the idea that if you take the red of the Republican and the blue of the Democrats and mix them together, you get purple. I want to serve on a city council that's representing all of the people.
Well, let's discuss your background a bit. What prompted you to run for city council other than just to represent all of the people? What are some of your specific issues?
The city council has as its main charge taking care of roads and taking care of the managing the infrastructure of the city. One of the big issues in Spokane Valley is growth. And I think it's important for us to have the city council manage growth so that we don't have urban sprawl. I think as it is now, developers have been allowed to just buy land wherever was least expensive and convenient, and we've ended up with infrastructure that's being taxed to the limit with arterials, with highways that aren't keeping up with the growth. I think that the city council should be incentivizing growth along its urban core.
What do you consider to be the urban core?
The city council has designated an urban core along the Appleway Sprague corridor and along some of the other arterials in Spokane. The place where the most along the Pines and Sullivan corridors. The Appleway corridor has a lot of land that's available. I think the city council can incentivize builders to build in those areas where there's more infrastructure, that we have public transportation, there are grocery stores and other services in those areas, rather than building multifamily housing out in neighborhoods that are far from those services.
What sort of incentives are you proposing?
The city council has at its disposal other means beside just tax incentives. The city council can allow development to be more dense, go higher. The city council can make other kinds of incentive for builders to offset the fact that property is a little more expensive in the downtown, but if you can put more units in an area, then you can offset that. That's within the purview of the city council to adjust the zoning.
You said you don't want a lot of multifamily housing in certain areas. Specifically, what do you mean by that?
Some of our neighborhoods do not have the infrastructure to support higher density housing because they're not connected to public transportation and because other services aren't available.
So are there any specific areas? Are you talking about like residential neighborhoods, say in the Broadway Mission Corridor or south of Sprague in the 16th to 24th Corridor? Is that kind of the area you're talking about?
Well, certainly those areas south of town are much further south of 16th or further from the kinds of services that denser housing requires. Along the Mission Broadway corridor, we have more public transportation, and some of those areas are more suitable given the proximity to the interstate as well.
How would you incentivize public transit? For instance, STA does run buses in the valley, but as you mentioned, they're not every place, and they're not as dense as in the city of Spokane proper. Do you have any ideas about incentivizing Spokane Transit into increasing the service that it provides in Spokane Valley?
One of the things that excites me about being a city council member for Spokane Valley is that in addition to being on the city council itself, city council members serve on the boards of other agencies around, such as the Spokane Transit, Health Department District. It bothers me that we don't have overnight bus transit back and forth around Spokane Valley. A lot of working people after midnight are working shifts where they say they don't have bus service. I don't have any specific ways that I know of as far as incentivizing. I know that there have been proposals in Spokane to provide bus passes to people who qualify as low income. I don't know the finances of that, but I know on the surface that sounds like a good idea. There are a lot of people who are really dependent on public transportation. And if we want to have public transportation grow in the city, and I think that is important, that we have to look for ways to increase ridership and make public transportation more accessible to people at the times that they need it.
Now, the city of Spokane Valley, it's been incorporated since 2003, and overall its finances are in pretty good shape. Its revenue has exceeded its expenses consistently. But that said, I know the city council is looking for how they can come up with a consistent amount of money to provide for street maintenance and transportation projects. So where do you stand on that? Are you looking at anything specific that you might propose to put money aside for a permanent street maintenance fund?
You're certainly correct. The Spokane Valley is in good financial situation. We're set up as a contract city. A lot of our city services, our chief of which is our contract with the Spokane County Sheriff's Office for our public safety.
How long do you see being a contract city? Is it going to be feasible to keep contracting out public safety, fire protection, that sort of thing for the foreseeable future?
I believe it is. I think we have a strong contract with Sheriff Knezovich. I think there are things that we as a city council can do to provide more resources for more officers. we do live in a city where we have a fire district that we're already part of. We have school districts that we're part of. I think that being contract city has served Spokane Valley well, and it puts us in good shape to be able to weather economic downturns. It is true that in the past, the funding for city streets was tied to a tax on landline telephones. And just as statewide, where highway maintenance is tied to gasoline taxes, we drive more efficient vehicles and we don't have landlines. I think that given the fact that we have a large surplus in our revenue over expenses now, I think that for the foreseeable future, we should figure up front that we're going to need a certain portion of this excess to cover highway maintenance, to cover our street maintenance. I think the way it was originally set up was slightly artificial. There's nothing that really ties telephones to streets. It's just that at the beginning, we had this much revenue and this much expense, and it seemed reasonable to tie them together. I think we need a new funding formula, but I don't think we need to impose new taxes to have the money to take care of our streets.
So if you're not going to impose an additional tax, does this mean that you would rearrange existing revenues and how they are budgeted?
Currently, the money that we're spending on street preservation is exceeding the goals set by the city engineers. I mean, our city streets are not deteriorating, and it is important that we keep them up in shape. I would be in favor of budgeting the extra $1 million that we end up supplying from surplus at the end of the year and just deciding ahead of time that that's money that we are going to spend to keep our road preservation going. A lot of the discussion about needing a tax is a matter of worst case scenario. If we have a downturn in the economy, we will have a drop in the sales tax revenues that we receive. And when and if that happens, we may have to make other funding decisions then, but we don't need to impose a new tax now just because we might have a downturn in the economy later.
The city of Spokane Valley likes to advertise itself as being business-friendly as it encourages additional industry and business to locate within the city itself. Are you on board with the current plan that they try to streamline regulation and zoning and permitting and all this to make it simpler for a prospective business to locate in the valley?
Yes, I think the city's had a good plan with this. As a homeowner, I've been involved with the permitting process a couple of times myself on a home remodel, and I don't feel like there's any cutting corners to the streamline process. The city uses the same labor and industries electrical inspectors that the city of Spokane does. I think they just have figured out a way to really streamline the process that people come in and they look at what they need and get it out. I do think it's important that our permitting takes into account environmental factors in new industries that move in. But my understanding is that we do a good job, that our professional services, our people within City Hall do a good job of making sure that those kind of things, the corners aren't cut in that streamlining process.
Turning to a different subject now, you indicate you support parkland and park development. There are several projects on the table with regard to parks, including Balfour Park expansion and development, and possibly a library sited there, or more Appleway Trail work. Just speak a little bit about what you feel parks, how important parks are to a city environment.
I can't overstate how important I think parks are to a city. Cities need parks, families need parks, and cities are measured on metrics like how far, what percentage of the population is within a 10-minute walk of a park. I don't want to mention the number, but I know that Spokane Valley is too low in that regard. That said, the city council has, we've just recently made a purchase of, that increased the size of Sullivan Park, doubled that. They're entering into an agreement with Department of Natural Resources for the area that's, I call it back behind Center Place. I would like to see us move ahead with development of Balfour Park. I know that an area of that is reserved for the library, but I would like to see a plan advance that will begin development of the rest of that park while the library makes their final decision as to whether they're going to build a library there.
There are factors that affect Spokane Valley that the city itself has no control over. I'm thinking of the development south of the city limits, southeast of the city limits in the Saltese area, the 24th area. These people are getting to where they're going by using Spokane Valley streets and infrastructure. And there've been some people, friends of mine out there, that are unhappy with this additional load on what they consider their streets. Do you have any thoughts as to what the city can do to mitigate outside development from impacting the city itself?
I think it's important for Spokane Valley to be an active member in the Spokane region. And I would advocate for meetings between the Spokane Valley City Council and the county commissioners. I don't believe they've had a public joint meeting other than the Council of Governments in several years. I think there are issues that the Spokane Valley communities, the city of Spokane Valley, need to be able to discuss on an ongoing way with the county, because your friends are correct. I mean, the Spokane Valley schools, the Spokane Valley highways are impacted by these developments, but currently there's not enough coordination in the region that we really get to have the input on these issues that we should.
Turning to a somewhat controversial subject, there have been some criticisms. I'll use the word criticisms of Spokane Valley by advocates who say the city of Spokane Valley itself is not doing enough to alleviate the regional homelessness problem. And even some people have claimed that Spokane Valley dumps its homeless on other locations. How would you answer a complaint like that?
I think it's an incorrect characterization to say that the city of Spokane Valley dumps their homeless population on the city of Spokane. We are a contract city, and I advocate for Spokane Valley contracting and reaching agreements with the city of Spokane to be able to shelter the people who find themselves homeless and camping in the parks in Spokane Valley. There are so many reasons why people find themselves homeless. Some of them are controversial as to whether a person should have a drug test before they're given shelter. But there are other aspects of this that should be areas that we can reach common ground on, and I feel like that's where we should start. that there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to come together and end youth homelessness in the Spokane area. I mean, nobody thinks those kids are saddled with, you know, is it their fault that they're homeless? We should help that vulnerable population. We have some very good services with our Veterans Court to help veterans who find themselves homeless. You know, we really need to be sure we're doing everything we can to get those populations taken care of. Other than that, I just think that Spokane Valley should be contracting with the city of Spokane. Spokane Valley has been accused of coming to the table a little late in these negotiations with the city. And I don't know enough to really say whether that's the case, but I know we're ending up in the time when it's starting to get cold and we don't have agreements and we need to be working on those agreements.
Now, assuming your campaign for city council is successful this November, when you take your place on the council itself, what are you going to be looking at specifically? What is really going to be your focus?
Spokane Valley has what's known as a weak mayor system, and that means that in January, those of us who are elected to the city council elect the new mayor and elect somebody to give new direction to the city. I'm excited by the idea that in addition to myself, that there are other good moderate candidates that I hope to enter the city council with a group of people who are willing to look at things more moderately than the current council, so that I know that my first action will be the election of a new mayor. Beyond that, I feel like getting a handle on the zoning changes that are required for us to really build Spokane Valley into the kind of city we want it to be. We have big city problems now. I'm sure the new census is going to show us over 100,000 people, which makes us, other than Spokane, we're the largest city this side of the Cascades. And so the problems of reaching good contracts with Spokane for dealing with people who find themselves homeless, for strengthening our contract with the sheriff's office. I would like to see an expansion of the sheriff's crisis response teams. I think the goal should be to have those teams on every shift, where mental health professionals are riding full shift with sheriff's deputies to help diffuse the mental health issues that police officers are so often called on to deal with, and help the other law enforcement resources get directed toward the kinds of crime and issues that they are best trained for.
And is there anything else that we haven't covered in this discussion that you'd like to speak about?
The only thing that comes to mind is that in asking about my signs, I mentioned how we came up with purple, but all the people at the bottom on the trail, to me, that's really the focus of why I'm running. I have four generations of my family living in Spokane Valley. I've lived a number of other places in my life, but I definitely am making Spokane Valley my home and want to be involved and do what I can to strengthen the community. And so all those people out on the trail are the representation to me of the families that are really the core of what will make Spokane Valley a great city.
That's Spokane Valley City Council candidate Lance Gurell talking with correspondent John Vlahovic. His opponent is incumbent Councilman Arnie Woodard, from whom we'll hear in our next podcast. We've posted a few of John's interviews with Spokane Valley candidates and are adding one new candidate interview a day at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Go to the Regional News tab and then click on Election 2019. Subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Join us again tomorrow.